Welcome to Parents' Perspective. The sirens were wailing, police cars and fire trucks flashed their lights against the smoke, and people were crowded together in clumps across the museum lawn. Dorothy! Where is Dorothy? Mrs. Houseman, the fourth grade teacher, was checking the students off on her clipboard as they lined up to walk to where the school bus was waiting. Just then, a policeman appeared with his arm around a girl who was trembling violently and yanking her hair with both hands. He had thrown a gray blanket over her shoulders, but she looked like she had just been dragged out of a frozen lake. "This the missing student?" he asked. "Oh, my dear!" Mrs. Houseman clutched her close. "Are you okay? I know this was frightening for all of us, but we're all here, and no one from school was hurt." Dorothy began sobbing and continued to yank at her hair, still shaking all over. The policeman studied her a minute and then leaned over and whispered in Mrs. Houseman's ear, "You might want to have one of the EMTs take a look at her. Looks to me like she might be having some post-traumatic stress." From a parent's perspective, what should we know about post-traumatic stress disorder in children? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest today is an expert any one of us would be glad to have nearby to call in difficult circumstances. Lieutenant Commander Dr. Glenn Crawford, a child psychiatrist, is Medical Director of Inpatient Psychiatric Adolescent Service at Bethesda Naval Hospital, the only U.S. military psychiatric service for adolescents in the world. He was extensively involved in the mental health response following the strike on the Pentagon, working with youngsters whose parents were lost or injured in that terrorist attack. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Lieutenant Commander Dr. Crawford.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here.
We've heard of post-traumatic stress disorder in connection with soldiers who have been in battle, but how does this apply to children?
Well, children, just as adults, can suffer a wide range of reactions to any type of emotional stress. In the anecdote you gave at the beginning of the show, certainly that child may have been experiencing some acute symptoms of distress at having witnessed or experienced an emotionally traumatic event. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the child will go on to develop post-traumatic stress disorder, which is a very specific condition. And certainly the majority of adults and children who experience trauma in their life do not develop post-traumatic symptoms.
Can you explain a little bit what the symptoms are so that the parents sitting there wringing their hands will know what to look for?
Sure. Well, any of us who experience an emotional trauma are going to have a certain type of symptoms, and these symptoms are anxiety related. So nervous types of behaviors, worry that something bad is going to happen, the idea that there is a fear or a danger that cannot be avoided, being hyper-aroused, essentially, where the adrenaline is flowing and the heart is beating fast and people are feeling sweaty, those are normal stress responses. And many of us who may be experiencing a traumatic event or have just experienced one may have some of those symptoms of hyper-arousal. I mean, that's part of the fight-or-flight response, which is inborn for us. But once things settle down a little bit, oftentimes those symptoms will subside and not necessarily progress to a post-traumatic stress condition or even another type of anxiety condition.
What about when a child who is normally a fairly calm, easygoing child starts to act out and misbehave a lot? Could that be symptomatic of feeling trauma?
It certainly could be, particularly if we knew that the child himself or herself had been exposed to some type of trauma. Again, children live at many different developmental levels. They can't necessarily sit down and tell you what's on their mind. They may not have the vocabulary or the experience to do that. So children will sometimes display their distress in their behavior. So a child, say, who was exposed to a traumatic event might all of a sudden start acting out in school or acting out at home when before he or she did not have any type of behavior problems. That might be concerning for us as mental health professionals who work with children to be alert to, because that might signal that the child is having some difficulty.
In what kinds of situations might children manifest some of these symptoms? I was thinking, obviously, if they're in a situation like we described in the story, you know, something happened in a museum. Or could it also be that they see something on television, the way kids saw what happened in the terrorist attacks?
That's an excellent question, because after 9/11, of course, all of us, I think, experienced the repetitive showing of the planes crashing into the towers and people talking about that. There was a lot of concern in the pediatric mental health community that that was traumatic not only for kids but also for adults having to witness that over and over again. And the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry and other child advocacy groups actually worked with the networks to minimize the number of times those pictures were shown so that children and their families would not be traumatized by having to witness that repetitively.
So in other words, kids don't have to be on site to be traumatized by something. They can be traumatized by something they see sort of secondhand.
Well, certainly, again, trauma is a wide spectrum, and post-traumatic stress disorder is probably on one end of that spectrum. But any of us who would witness the terrible events of 9/11, the planes crashing into the towers or people jumping out of the windows and the towers coming down, that is a traumatic thing to witness, even if we're thousands of miles away. And while we may not have or develop post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of watching that, it is still traumatic emotionally to see it. And all of us may have some reaction to that, thinking about what would have happened if I were there, or have a bad dream associated with the event, even if we didn't experience it. That is somewhat expected, given the nature, the extraordinary nature of the events. Usually, when people have an acute stress reaction or develop post-traumatic stress, they have either immediately witnessed or experienced something which is an emotional trauma, being kidnapped or having something happen that could have resulted in their death or having a parent killed, somebody close to them who's important to them be hurt. That can also cause traumatic symptoms in a child, even if the child weren't there at the time witnessing it.
So as we're all as parents thinking, okay, how can we tell if what our child is exhibiting is post-traumatic stress? Are there certain kinds of things that they would be doing, perhaps?
Well, it would depend first on the age of the child. Again, younger children will show post-traumatic symptoms if they have them in a slightly different way than an older child or an adolescent would. What I think parents should be attuned to would be changes in behavior. A child who, after experiencing or knowing about a traumatic event, is starting to have nightmares, is starting to be afraid to go to sleep. Children may become much more fearful about leaving home or leaving their parents. So a child who had no problem about going to school or going off to a friend's house all of a sudden becomes more clingy, doesn't want to leave home, doesn't want to leave his or her parents. Children may try and reenact the trauma that they've experienced through their play. So, for example, after the 9/11 attacks, a lot of parents and mental health professionals reported that children were trying to work through the anxiety of seeing the Twin Towers come down by building towers of their own and trying to rescue the people or trying to keep the planes from crashing into the towers. In this way, the children were trying to manage their own anxiety about what they had witnessed. And in many respects, that can be a healthy thing for children to do. So it really depends, again, on how old the child is, his or her developmental level. An adolescent is probably going to show symptoms more like an adult would. And an adolescent obviously is more verbal, can sit down and talk about how he or she is feeling and what it's like to have these feelings inside. But adolescents and adults, too, can sometimes act out their behavior. Adults may try to manage their anxiety by drinking more or avoiding their work obligations or withdrawing from their family. There are a wide variety of symptoms that we can see in children and adults. And so I think the most important issue is to be attuned to the possibility that children can develop anxiety symptoms following a traumatic event. And I think for those of us who work with children, and certainly for parents, we need to be attuned to that possibility. Not to necessarily be fearful of it, but if we're aware that it is possible children can have anxiety reactions to trauma just as adults can, then we can identify those children who may be having a little bit more difficulty and get them the help that they need so that things don't progress to a point where it becomes so impairing for the child.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on post-traumatic stress disorder.
Two excellent books written by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids, are available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Lieutenant Commander Dr. Glenn Crawford about post-traumatic stress disorder in children.
Dr. Crawford, how long should we be alert to watch for possible symptoms after a traumatic event that we know our child has experienced? And is there any example that you could give us of identifying this kind of disorder in a child?
Certainly. In the anecdote you gave at the beginning of the show, the child was experiencing some symptoms of increased arousal and anxiety immediately after the trauma. Again, that's part of the fight or flight response. That's instinctual for us. But once the acute trauma has subsided, different people will experience symptoms for varying lengths of time. Now, again, some anxiety symptoms following a significant trauma are not necessarily abnormal. It is very important to realize that anybody exposed to a traumatic event may, for a period of time, experience some symptoms afterward. They may have dreams about the event, or they may have intrusive thoughts about the event. Just sort of thinking about it pops into their mind. They may try to avoid reminders of the event, but they can usually function pretty well. And when we work with people who have been exposed to a trauma, one of the first things we do is educate them to the normalcy of their reaction. It is normal following the attack on the Pentagon, especially for those of you who lost friends or loved ones in the attack, to feel sad about it, to feel afraid to some degree about what you've experienced or that it might happen again, to have bad dreams about it or to have thoughts that just come into your mind that are troublesome to you. Those are normal reactions, and talking about it with others and taking care of yourselves, making sure you're sleeping all right, getting exercise, oftentimes those symptoms will subside. It's when the symptoms increase to a point where a person can't function that we become concerned that they may be developing an abnormal reaction to stress.
So might this happen 6 months after the event or 20 years after the event? How long do we need to sit and worry?
Well, the diagnostic criteria for post-traumatic stress disorder is that the symptoms have to exist a month after the traumatic event. Before that, it's called acute stress disorder. And oftentimes, the symptoms can last for weeks or months after that. Mm-hmm. Usually, the onset is within the first 3 months following the trauma. But it can be delayed in some cases. People may seem to do okay following a trauma, and then something else happens that reminds them of the initial trauma or acts as a trigger, and then they can develop a full-blown post-traumatic stress reaction over something which in and of itself might not have seemed that traumatic to an outsider. So again, the timeline is usually within the first couple, 3 months after the traumatic event.
Are there certain personality types that would be more prone to this kind of response to a traumatic event? All the parents are thinking, now let's see my kid. Would he be okay?
In general, it's hard to predict who's going to respond to a traumatic event and who's not. There do not seem to be particular personality types that are more prone.
Of course, we're all nervous about the security situation for our children, and we want to know if there are any preventive measures we should be taking to bolster our children against post-traumatic stress disorder should they face traumatic events.
Children derive their sense of security and safety from their parents. So it's very important for parents to be able to reassure their children that despite the terrible things that may happen around us, that they are safe, that they are loved, and that the parents are going to do everything possible to keep bad things from happening to their children. One of the things we have found in looking at post-traumatic stress disorder in particular in children is that one of the things that seems to influence whether it develops or not is how the parent reacts to trauma. If a parent is having a hard time managing a stressful event that the family has experienced, it's going to be all the more difficult for the child to be able to appropriately manage his or her own response. And so oftentimes we may need to work with the parents as well to help them manage the experiences they're having as a result of the trauma so that they can then help their children.
Isn't that interesting? And in addition, we're sort of modeling how you react to a stressful event.
Exactly. Certainly after the 9/11 attacks, the First Lady had many public service announcements on television where she told parents how to talk with their kids about what had happened and to reassure them that they were safe, that they were loved. And this can go a very long way, again, to helping children realize that, yes, while bad things may happen, they are safe, they are secure, and parents are going to do what they can to keep them that way.
If a parent thinks that a child does have post-traumatic stress disorder, what should the parent do?
Well, certainly the first thing would be to discuss with a pediatrician or even a mental health professional who works with children the parent's concerns. Again, it's important to stress that some reaction to trauma is normal, and not all symptoms of stress following a traumatic event mean post-traumatic stress disorder. And a parent talking with a mental health professional or with his or her child's pediatrician may allay some of the parent's anxieties about what's going on with his or her child and whether what the child is experiencing is normal. It may be reassuring for a parent to hear that 2 or 3 weeks after something bad has happened, it's normal for the child to have an occasional nightmare or to not want to talk about the event. But if the child is otherwise doing okay in school, doing okay as far as his or her relationships with friends, then it may be appropriate just to reassure the parent, reassure the child, and see what happens.
So we don't need to drag the kids in. We could just go in ourselves and talk first.
I think the first step would be talking ourselves, exactly. If what the parents relate is concerning to the pediatrician or to the mental health professional, then obviously a more formal consultation can be arranged.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on post-traumatic stress disorder in children.
For an audio cassette copy of Any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We are talking with Lieutenant Commander Dr. Glenn Crawford about post-traumatic stress disorder. Would you explain how children recover from this condition?
Well, for children who actually develop post-traumatic stress disorder, recovery includes interventions to help the child and sometimes his family manage and deal with the effects of a traumatic event. Oftentimes, different types of psychotherapy can be used with children. Again, depending on the age of the child, the work may be done through a play therapy or through a more talking therapy with the child. Even in extraordinary cases, medication may sometimes be helpful, not by itself, but to help control some of the more severe symptoms of anxiety, if they're present, in order to allow the therapy to be most effective. Again, children don't live in a vacuum. They live in families. They go to school. And so oftentimes liaison may need to be made with the school because there may be other children who are being affected, and that may affect how the child is responding. And again, working with the family of a child who's having PTSD symptoms because there may be other family members who are also experiencing a reaction to traumatic events and may need some intervention themselves.
What might be some kinds of events? I mean, we know about the terrorism because that was recent in our lives, and there have been shootings in some parts of the country that are pretty frightening things. But what other kinds of events could cause post-traumatic stress disorder?
Well, there's a wide spectrum of conditions and experiences that unfortunately can cause children to have abnormal reactions to stress. Anything from a kidnapping or having a parent murder or something terrible like that to a hurricane blowing the house away or a tornado, some natural disaster that affects a community. There are also more chronic forms of trauma that children unfortunately experience, which can also result in some PTSD-type symptoms. For example, chronic physical abuse or chronic neglect. Children who experience those traumas oftentimes can develop very significant problems, oftentimes a little bit different than the type of symptoms they may develop following an acute trauma, like a natural disaster or something like that.
Is a child with a post-traumatic stress disorder likely to relapse? Is it like some kinds of diseases where you're more likely to get it again?
Not necessarily. It's hard to know whether a child or an adult is going to develop post-traumatic stress again if confronted with another stressor. And the studies are not really quite clear on that issue just yet. Oftentimes, persons who experience a traumatic event develop some anxiety or post-traumatic symptoms, which then resolve, are not necessarily going to develop PTSD or an acute stress reaction if confronted with another traumatic event. The bottom line is it's really hard to know. Children and adults who have long-standing symptoms of PTSD, where the symptoms are very chronic or have lasted for a long time, may be a little bit more susceptible to being able to respond to further traumas in their life. But it's really hard to say. Again, most people go through traumatic events, fortunately, without developing PTSD or major anxiety disorders. And that's, I think, the most important thing to emphasize.
For all the parents out there who are wringing their hands and thinking about what's going on in our country these days and thinking, oh, my goodness, is my kid going to have this? What would you say to them?
I would say that, fortunately, terrible things which cause PTSD do not befall most children or adults. And even for those of us who may be witness to or experience a traumatic event, whether it's a terrorist attack, whether it's a natural disaster or whatever, may develop some symptoms short term of anxiety, but do not go on to develop full-blown post-traumatic stress disorder. Again, children and adults are very resilient, and it's important to remember that some symptoms of distress are normal after a traumatic event, but that doesn't necessarily mean that somebody's going to develop PTSD.
Dr. Crawford, we always like to leave our listeners with some resources so they can go forth from listening to this discussion to find out more if they need to. Do you have some suggestions?
Two websites that might be particularly helpful for parents. The American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry has an excellent website which provides information on a number of issues. PTSD is just one, but has a lot of resources and information on a wide variety of conditions that affect children and adolescents. And that website is www.aacap, American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry.org.
You want to say that one more time while everyone's grabbing a pencil real fast?
Sure. It's www.aacap.org, O-R-G. And the American Academy of Pediatrics also has a very good website which may have some information on this issue as well, and that is www.aap.org.
And anybody can access these websites?
With a computer that's linked to the Internet.
Well, we want to thank you so much, Lieutenant Commander Dr. Glenn Crawford, for being with us today. You have talked about a very difficult and traumatizing subject for parents, but made it a lot more accessible and calm for all of us listening.
Thank you. The pleasure was mine.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Washington, D.C. with Kids. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address and mention show number 163. Tell us if you can what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning into. Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids are both available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents' Perspective and our books, Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, http://i.am/parentsperspective. That's http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.